This is VOA News, reporting by remote. I'm Joe Ramsey. Officials said Tuesday the death toll from a partially collapsed Miami area condo building rose by 4 to 32 as rescue workers brace for a tropical storm and relatives of a deceased family of four prepare for the disaster's first funeral. A total of 113 people remain missing 12 days after roughly half of the 12-story Champlain Tower South building came tumbling down early in the morning on June 24th. Workers still searching the mountain of debris face strong winds as Tropical Storm Elsa approaches from the south. Although forecasts predict the Surfside area should avoid the brunt of Elsa on its projected course north from Cuba, scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely and could hinder the search and rescue effort. Investigators have not determined what caused the 40-year-old complex to collapse. A 2018 engineering report found structural deficiencies that are now the focus of inquiries that led to a grand jury examination. Miami-Dade's mayor cautions it could take some time to find the exact cause. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani apologized Tuesday over massive power outages during a heat wave that have drawn widespread criticism and triggered street protests. Officials have blamed the blackouts on surging demand for power, along with low rainfall cutting hydroelectric output and illegal cryptocurrency mining farms accessing subsidized electricity. Rouhani said in remarks carried by state TV that people are right to complain. Angry residents gathered in several cities protesting the outages, which often did not follow blackout schedules announced by state-run electricity companies, according to Iranian news outlets and postings on social media. Find more on the stories and the rest of the day's news at voanews.com. This is VOA News. Lebanon's prime minister warned Tuesday his country is a few days away from a social explosion, calling on the international community to save a country in deep economic trouble. The World Bank has called Lebanon's financial crisis one of the worst depressions of modern history. Its currency has lost more than 90% of its value, and more than half of the population has been forced into poverty. Anger over fuel shortages has led to fights at petrol stations, and the prime minister appears to be warning of more unrest. Lebanese politicians have been unable to agree on a new government since last year's catastrophic Beirut port explosion. The European Union's foreign policy chief told Lebanon leaders last month they were to blame for the political and economic crisis, and some could face sanctions if they continue to block steps to form a new government and implement reform. Israel agreed to a COVID vaccine swap with South Korea Tuesday, sending some 700,000 doses of the Pfizer jab to Seoul, quote-unquote, immediately, in return for the same number in coming months. A statement from Prime Minister Naftali Bennett's office said the deal, the first of its kind for Israel, would allow for more effective use of the vaccine stocks of both countries. Israel received a huge supply of the Pfizer vaccine shortly after its approval last year, following an arrangement with the producers to share data about its impact. That deal helped Israel roll out one of the world's fastest vaccination drives, but also raised concerns about unused stock expiring. Last month, the Palestinian Authority canceled a deal that would have seen 1 million jabs from Israel's inventory sent to the occupied West Bank. The PA said the doses were about to expire. Israel insisted they were completely valid. The Vatican said Tuesday Pope Francis's progress following intestinal surgery is going normally, and he slept well and got up to walk. The results of routine tests were good, according to a Vatican spokesman who said in a statement the Pope also had breakfast and read several newspapers. The 84-year-old Pope underwent a 3-hour operation Sunday night to remove part of his colon. He's expected to stay in a Rome hospital for 7 days unless there are any complications. And Afghanistan authorities say they deployed hundreds of so-called commandos and pro-government militiamen on Tuesday to counter the Taliban's blistering offensive in the north. Fighting has raged across several provinces, and insurgents have primarily focused on the northern countryside, seizing dozens of districts in the past 2 months. All U.S. and NATO forces last week left Bagram Air Base near Kabul, the command center for anti-Taliban operations, effectively wrapping up their exit after 20 years of military involvement. Reporting by remote, I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.